Morning. Today's daf in Baba Kama is Ayin Vav. We start today in Ayin Hey. Amud Aleph, we're at the two dots beginning with the words it marks towards the top of the Yama. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is on Zecher Nishmas Liba Gabriela Bas Shmuel. As a result of yesterday's observed Tisha B'Av, so we didn't learn yesterday. Puts us a little bit behind. I project that we're going to catch up pretty quickly. If you look at tomorrow's daf, you will see a well-timed gift that Tosus gave us, and that is a daf with nearly no Gemara on it. So Ayin Zayin and Baba Kama, known for a long Tosus, and you don't have to hear about it. You can actually just see it inside. So therefore, it gives us ample opportunity to catch up. In the meantime, let's begin. On Ayin Hey Amud Aleph, we are at the two dots, starting with the words Itmar. You'll recall the Mishnah on Ayin Dal Amud Beis, which we did already, discussed... The learning we do this morning will be for Elias Neshama for Peril Bas Avram HaKohen. You remember the Mishnah that we did. The Mishnah discussed stealing and shechting, which, as we already know, the basic obligation is that if you steal an item, quote with the item that you stole, so you have to pay not only the value of the item, but you also have to pay kefal. You have to pay a second value of the item. And if you shech the animal, or if you sell the animal subsequent to the stealing, so you compounded your sin, so you're going to have to pay dal vehei. Dal vehei in the case where the animal that you stole is either shor or seh. Right, four for a set, five for a short. So and then we discussed in the Mishnah scenarios in which you'll be chayv on kefal but not dal vehei. It won't work the other way around, of course, as we've discussed already a number of times, and we're going to see it again this morning. You can't be chayv on the tficha and not be chayv on the gneva, because if there's no gneva, then there's no tficha, meaning the tficha is only for compounding your sin. If there was no sin to begin with, so then there's nothing to compound. So we're going to be discussing that also a little bit later. In the meantime, however, we are in the middle of a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel, which our Mishnah seems to touch on, but the machlokas could really be studied in of itself, and that is the discussion as follows. We know the general rule of mod de beknas, that if I come to court and I make an admission, not on a monetary obligation, but on a punitive fine, so then I don't have to pay. Mod de beknas pater. That's the basic halacha. So if I make an admission on anything in the Torah that is not tashlumim, that's not remuneration, but it is a knas, so then I don't have to pay the knas. So for example, if let's say I go to court and say I stole the item, so obviously I have to pay for the item which I stole, but I don't have to pay the kefal, because that's an admission. What happens in the scenario in which I make an admission, and then subsequent to my admission, then witnesses come in, and witnesses said, you know what, he stole. So this is a classic discussion in the Gemara that's taking place today. It's yesterday's daf, but taking place today, and that's mod de beknas v'achakoch ba'oedim, where you make an admission on the knas, and then subsequent to your admission, witnesses come in and said that you stole. So now, can the witnesses upset your admission? Can they now obligate you to pay the kefal? And this was a machlokus between Rav and Shmuel. Rav's of the opinion that mod de beknas v'achakoch ba'oedim, you're still pater. That's Rav Shita. Shmuel disagreed. Shmuel said no. Mod de beknas v'achakoch ba'oedim, you're going to be chayv on the knas. So this is the machlokus between Rav and Shmuel. What we're going to be doing this morning is we're going to be learning the source behind the halacha, behind Rav's halacha, how Shmuel is going to refute that source, and we're going to see this morning that this is one of those unusual scenarios in which we're going to pass on like Rav. It's not unusual to pass on like Rav, but in monetary law, in Bedini Mamonos, so we normally follow like Shmuel, we don't follow like Rav. Here, in our Gemara, as we're going to see, the halacha is going to go like Rav, that Modeb Kenas V'achar Chachbao Edim is going to be Pater, and we're also going to see later this morning that even Rav is not going to fundamentally, unilaterally maintain that Modeb Kenas V'achar Chachbao Edim Pater. He's going to agree under certain circumstances that you can have witnesses come after your Hodah, and they're going to affect your status. And we'll see that also later this morning as well. Okay, a lot to go through in the Gemara, and we're going to try to catch up today. But tomorrow is really the time we're going to be really able to catch up. Thanks to tomorrow's daf. In the meantime, let's begin. Itmar. The Gemara says we have learned the following. We are on Ayin Hey Amud Aleph, about a quarter of the way down in the Amud at the two dots. The last one in the line is Itmar. Itmar Mudbeknas Vachakach Loedim Rav Amar Patur Shmuel Amar Chayev. So here we have a machlokas Rav and Shmuel. If you make an admission and then subsequent to your admission witnesses come in, Rav says you're still going to be exempt because you admitted, and Shmuel says no, you're going to be chayev. Amar Rav Bar Yila, my time at the Rav. So what is the reason behind Rav? Because the Torah says this is in the parsha of Mishpatim. This is by Geneva. Im himatsei timatsei, meaning the Gemara is going to break up the pasuk, but the pasuk reads im. If you were caught with the item, and the Gemara explains, if you were caught, how are you caught? Meaning witnesses kept step forward, and witnesses said that you stole. So then, dayanim are going to go after you, meaning you're going to pay kefal. Which is an exclusion to where you're not caught, but you step forward, and you say, I stole. So under those circumstances, you're not going to pay kefal. Okay, so that's a drasha in Parshas Mishpatim, to which the Gemara points out, Lama li ma'asher yashu nafka. I don't understand. We already have a pasuk in the Torah that teaches us the basic halacha that when you make an admission on a kenas, you're going to be pater. The Torah says, asher yashiyun. If Beis Din finds you guilty, so then you're going to pay a kenas. Which means that if Beis Din doesn't find you guilty because you admitted, so then you're not going to have to pay a kenas. What we have over here is basically an additional drasha. It sounds like the Torah is making the point two times over. Now, why is the Torah doing that? So this is exactly the source behind Rav. So Rav is telling us that the Torah is teaching us an additional halacha. Aside from the basic halacha of Mod Beknas Pater, which we learn out from Asher Yarshiyun, we're also learning that once you make an admission, your admission is locked in. And even if witnesses come afterwards, you still have your admission, and therefore you're going to be exempt from having to pay Knas. This is the story behind Rav. That's the source behind Rav. Ushmuel. Now, what's Shmuel going to do with that? So, Shmuel will tell you, go back to the beginning of the parak, where in the beginning of the seventh parak, we went over all the sources in the Torah behind the halachas of... how do I know about paying kefal for a ganav? How do I know about paying kefal for a towing tana's ganav? You remember all those gemaras that we had in the beginning of the seventh parak? So Shmuel is going to take the pasuk of imi matzei to teach us the basic halacha that you're going to be paying kefal in the event that you are caught with stolen item. Okay, so basically Shmuel's response is, I don't have a second pasuk to make the drasha, therefore there is no special halacha about moda knas v'achar kach ba'u edim. Okay, Eitzvei Rav L'Shmuel. And here we go now, back and forth between Rav and Shmuel, in terms of where do we see the halacha most clearly in the Braisa. Ra Edim Shemamash Mashim Uvayim. So the Braisa over here deals with the following scenario. It's great. Meaning, you stole an item. You know now that if you're caught with the stolen item, if witnesses come forward to the base and testify, so not only are you going to have to pay back, but you're going to have to pay back kefal as well. So here in this Braisa, it's such a great visual. The Braisa describes the witnesses on their way to the court. And you, the ganav, you see them. You see them going to court. So you're now the ganav. Now look, you have to think on your feet. You're a ganav, that's what you do for a living. So you got to think fast. And so what do? You run to Beis Din. And you run ahead of the Edim. And you go into Beis Din. You barge in. You say, okay, I stole. And obviously now that's going to make all the difference. Because once you admit that you stole, so then you only have to pay Karen. You only have to pay the principal value. You don't have to pay the kefal. If the witnesses would have beat you to the court, so then you would have had to pay kefal. So this guy is smart. I didn't say he's good, but he's smart. So So he sees the witnesses on the way to the court. So he runs ahead of them. He goes into the courtroom and he says, I stole. Okay, now I stole, but I didn't do anything after that. I didn't shech the animal. I didn't sell the animal. I didn't compound my sin, but I did steal. So ain mashalem ala Karen. So the only thing he pays is Karen, of course, because he made an admission. And because he made an admission, he only pays the principal, but he doesn't pay the kefal. Now, What did we just learn together? It, presumably, the witnesses that were behind him still kept going to court. Right? We have no reason to suspect otherwise. So that means then that he went to court, he beat the witnesses to court, he made an admission, the witness followed behind him, the witnesses went to the court and said, you know, he stole. The court said, yeah, we know that, he told us. So what are we learning from this Braisa is that even though the witnesses come after he admitted, sounds like from the Braisa, he's still only going to have to pay Karen, and he's not going to have to pay the kefal. And this serves as a very good proof for Rav, and this is difficult for Shmuel. Amar Lei, so Shmuel says in his defense, Hachabem Maiskin Kigon Shechazru Eidim Lachareihem. So Shmuel says in his defense, yeah, but. Yes, but, I'm going to tell you what happened. Once the witnesses saw that the Ganav ran to court, the witnesses said, okay, basically, we're good. There's no point in us going to court. So they turn around and go home. So that's Shmuel's understanding of the Braisa. The witnesses did not end up going to court. And what Shmuel now is suggesting is, had the witnesses gone to court, so then the Ganav would have to pay kefal. So the Gemara says, v'hamin dini seifa. The Gemara says, yeah, but let's continue reading on in the Braisa, because you will see as we get to the end of the Braisa, Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon, Amar Yavo Eidim v'yayidim v'yayidu. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon says that what should happen is that the witnesses should come anyway. They should testify anyway, and by them testifying, so then the ganav is going to have to pay kefal. Okay, so in the second part of the Braisa, you have the opinion of Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, who states very clearly that even after you make an admission, if witnesses come afterwards, you're going to pay paying kefal. Mechlal the Tanakama Savarlo. And from there, the implication is very clear that the Tanakama disagrees on that point, and the Tanakama is of the opinion that after your admission, witnesses coming in afterwards is not going to affect your admission whatsoever. And so now, basically, what we have is a machlokus between the Tanakama and Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon. So now, this puts Shmuel in somewhat of a bad position, because Shmuel's of the opinion that if after admission witnesses come in, you're going to be chayev. So the Gemara says, "Amrei Shmuel, lav ika Rav Lazar b'Rabbi Shimon dekai kavasi." So to that, Shmuel says, "Okay, but at least now here's what comes out. This issue of witnesses coming subsequent to your admission, whether or not you're going to have to pay the knas or not going to have to pay the knas, turns into a machlokes between the Tanakama and Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon. So at least, in the very least, I'm holding like Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon. So put me on the side of Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon. So Ana de Amri, ke Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon. So that's what Shmuel will tell you, that I subscribe to Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon's viewpoint. Okay, so the Gemara says, L'shmuel v'ad tanaihi. Now, as far as Shmuel is concerned, when we look now at this price in its totality, we now know Shmuel siding with the opinion of Rav Lazar Rebbe Shimon. The Tanakama argues on Rav Lazar Rebbe Shimon, which means that, obviously, Shmuel is not siding with the Tanakama. That part's clear. But here the Gemara says, but l'rav milema tanaihi. But according to Rav, I don't know. I don't know if Rav has to limit himself to one of the opinions in the Braisa. Amalcha Rav, an damer afilu Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon. And what Rav will tell you is as follows. I can fit into both opinions of the Braisa. I can fit in with the Tanakhama, and I can fit in with Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon. Because ad kan lo kama Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon hasam ala mishum deka mode machmas biususa de edem avahacha mode me'atma afilu Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon mode. And the Gemara here makes such an excellent point. I mean, excellent. I mean, it's intuitive. It sounds correct. And that is the following. Look, again, Rav's position is that once you make a hodan Beis Din, that's it. You're going to be exempt from having to pay kenas. And even if witnesses come subsequently, you're still going to be exempt. That's the opinion of Rav. Now, as far as the Braisa is concerned, so the Tanakama fits in perfectly with Rav. That's exactly what the Tanakama says. And Rav will tell you, even Rav Elazar Rabbi Shimon fundamentally agrees with me. But consider, in the Braisa, what was the case that they were talking about? They were talking about where the Ganav is watching witnesses go to court. So the Ganav over here is now going to intercept. But the only reason why he's intercepting is not because he has a guilty conscience. It's not because he wants to make good on that which he did wrong. It's because he wants to get out of kefal. And it's clear, meaning he's watching the Edom go to court, and now he's going to intercept and get to court first. So clearly his motivation for doing so has nothing to do with him trying to do what's right. It's just him trying to get out of kefal.
That's for everybody.
Okay, so, and what Rav Elazar Rabbi Shimon's point is that if he's clearly utilizing the loophole, so then you don't give it to him. In other words, it's a loophole which is based on the premise that he's trying to do the right thing. He's trying to make good. But if we know that all he's doing is using it as a loophole, so then he's not going to be given the benefit of the doubt. And so Rav will tell you that, good. So Rav Elazar Rabbi Shimon also holds like me, that when you make an admission on a kenas, you're going to be exempt. And it's only where it's obvious that the person is trying to gain an advantage by admitting, the advantage is he doesn't have to pay kenas, then and only then is the edim coming subsequently going to obligate him to have to pay the kenas. But fundamentally, he agrees with me. Fine. Adkan. So that takes us now to the end of part one of our discussion. So again, you make an admission on Knas. You're going to be exempt. That's the starting point. Everybody agrees. Here's where the disagreement comes. What if witnesses come after your admission? So Shmuel says you're going to be Chayv, Rav says you're going to be Pater. And we had a discussion in terms of a Mishnah, in terms of a Braisa. And what it sounds like right now is that, well, can't say who's right, but as I pointed out a moment ago, this is going to be one of those rare instances where we go like Rav, not like Shmuel, where Mod Beknas V'Achakach Ba'Oedim is Pater. But now the Gemara is going to go one step further. The Gemara didn't say that, by the way. That's going to come out based on the upcoming Gemara. But the Gemara has not said that yet. But that's the Halacha. And within the opinion of Rav, we're going to go one step further, which is the upcoming Gemara. Amar Rav Hamanuna. Okay, about two-thirds of the way down on nine Ham at Olive. The Gemara continues. Amar Rav Hamanuna Mistarba Milsa Darav, but Omar Ganafti, Uval Adim Shaganov, Potter. Shahare Chayev Atzma Bekarin. Okay, very interesting. Within the opinion of Rav, I'll say it first more conceptually, and then I'll actually read it into the Gemara. Conceptually, you make an admission on a crime that you did. You were right. You came to court and you said I stole, so you're going to be exempt from having to pay the knas. What Rav Hamanuna is saying is that yes, Rav is of the opinion that when Adam come afterwards, your admission is still going to hold, and you're not going to have to pay the knas. But that's only when your admission has stakes. That's only when your admission is going to exempt you from knas, but it's also going to obligate you in having to pay the principal. Meaning that an admission is only going to have validity if the admission actually is going to cost you something. If the admission is going to cost you nothing, so then even Rav is going to be of the opinion that the admission is just simply not an admission.
What does it cost
nothing? You'll see. It'll become clear in just a moment. So the Gemara says, "Ba'omer ganafti uvau edim sheganav pater sharechayav atzma bekarin." Let's say now I'm reading it inside. Let's say you come to court and you say I stole, and you admit it. So now that admission is going to cost you, because now that you admit that you stole, you have to pay the principal, although you did get out of keifa. That's an admission that's going to cost you something. What would be an example of an admission that costs you nothing? Ava amar lo ganafti. Let's say you go to court and you say I didn't steal. No such thing. And then uvaweidim shaganav. And so witnesses come afterwards, and witnesses said, you stole. Okay. So now, you're stuck. I mean, you get more than stuck. You got caught. You stole, and witnesses said you stole. And so now you're on the hook to having to pay the principal, and you also have to pay the kefa as well. V'chazer v'amar. So now, he thinks quickly on his feet, and he says the following. Okay. All right, I admit it, although right now it's too late for admission, but I admit it, I stole. But here also I want to now tell the court the following. I shechted the animal, or I sold the animal. So now what is he trying to do? With that admission, he's trying to get out of the next fine. The next fine is going to be the dal v'hei. Now, I keep saying dal v'hei, but we all understand that right now he's already on the hook for the principal and for the kefal. So he's already on the hook for one and two. So really now we're talking about payments 3, 4, and 5. Okay, assuming it's an ox. So we're talking about payments now 3, 4, and 5. So by him standing in front of the courtroom and saying, okay, the witness is all right, I stole. But I want to beat him to the next punch. I shechted the animal. I sold the animal. And so now this is an admission which is not going to cost him anything, and moreover, it's not only not going to cost him anything, it's going to exempt him from the payments of 3, 4, and 5. And now, after he made that admission, now witnesses come. And witnesses said, you know what? He shechted the animal. Or he sold the animal. So here, even Rav will tell you, chayev, that even though he registered an admission in court, this is an admission that's not, even according to Rav, it's a flaky admission. And when witnesses come afterwards, the witnesses are not going to obligate him. And again, intuitively, it makes so much sense. Because this admission doesn't have any stakes. This admission is not going to cost him anything. This admission is merely for the purpose of exempting him from payments 3, 4, and 5. And that's it. That's all it's going to do. And therefore, if witnesses come afterwards, the witnesses will obligate him and have to pay this. Sharei patar atzmo miklum. And the Gemara says it beautifully, succinctly. The Gemara says, because with this exemption, so patar atzmo miklum, he exempted himself from nothing. Meaning that there is no stakes involved in this admission.
Had he said nothing, he would have paid.
Huh?
If he didn't say anything
and witnesses wouldn't have come, he wouldn't have had to pay. But he's trying to say it in order to indemnify himself when the witnesses do come. And he's trying to put out an admission so that if and when witnesses come and say that he shechted it, he won't have to pay. But to that now, Rav Hamanuna is saying, even within the opinion of Rav, yeah, but that's a flake. It's a flaky admission. That admission doesn't cost him anything.
There's no other witnesses to come.
So then,
he says something.
Okay, so right. So no. So then he's no. You're not going to obligate yourself to pay, but you're also, according to Rav Hamnuna, you're not going to protect yourself in the event that witnesses do come. So Amar Ravi Kapach Blasabe de Rav. So Rav says, you know, I've heard this within the opinion of Rav, and I'm going to cut it down. Now, how you get, right? The word kapachti means I'm going to cut it. I'm going to cut down this opinion, meaning I have a hard time understanding this opinion based on what we learned in yesterday's daf. I'll say really 2 days ago. Because consider, remember the story that we learned 2 days ago on Shabbos? Rabbi Gamliel knocked out the eye of his Eved Kanani. His Eved Kanani went by the name of Tevi. He knocked out his eye. He was, Rabbi Gamliel was so happy because he loved Tevi and the idea now that he's going to go free. So he ran to court, or it was either in or outside of court, and he ran to court and he said, I knocked out my Eved Kanani's eye, he now goes free, I'm such a happy person. To which the Gemara said, wait 1 second. The fact that your Eved Kanani goes free, that's a kenas. And now, how do we know this information based on your admission? So they said to Rabbi Gamliel, Moed Bekenas Pater. It's not going to work. Your admission is not going to work because now you're being mowed the biknas. Now there, is that admission going to cost him anything? I mean, I know it sounds funny. The answer is, yeah, it cost him a slave. But in other words, is he going to have to pay for anything he sent that admission? So, no. And meanwhile, that is what's called poter atzmo miklum. And, right, it's not going to cost him anything, and yet the Gemara said, and when presenting the story, that this is going to be considered an admission. And v'kamar le'rav chisal arvuna v'lo kamashani le'i. And even though yesterday the brisa was bantered between Rav Huna and Rav Chista, this did not become part of the discussion. So what it sounds like is that even though that was an admission, that's not going to cost him anything, yet the admission is going to be a valid admission. And then the Gemara went on to discuss, and what if witnesses come afterwards, and what if they report it afterwards? Is he going to be liable? Is he not going to be liable? Is he going to have to set him free? Is he not going to have to set him free? Etc., etc. But still, the basic point of the Gemara is, that's an example of a hodah that doesn't cost, and meanwhile, sounds like it fits into the regular discussion of Hodah. So this distinction that Rav Hamanuna is making doesn't seem to work out. Despite that, the Gemara goes on to say, not only is Rav of this opinion, but as we're going to see in just a moment, Rav Yochanan is of this opinion as well. If Rav Yochanan states the following halacha, now this is going to be repetitive. It is repetitive. It just happens to be now that this is Rav Yochanan echoing the same sentiment of Rav. If the person steps forward and he says, I stole, and then witnesses come afterwards and say, the man stole, he's going to be exempt from having to pay kefal. Sharei chayav atzma bekeren. Why? Because that admission cost him. With that admission, he has to pay the principal value of the item. And that's why that admission is going to be so solid. It's going to be edim proof, where if edim comes subsequently, they're not going to affect his admission. Aval amar lo ganav. But in a scenario where he says, I didn't steal. Uval edim sheganav. And witnesses came and said, no, you did steal. So now he's on the hook to having to pay Karen and Kefal. V'chazav amar tavachti macharti. And then he goes to the court and he says, okay, but let me now admit. Okay, fine, I stole. But now let me now admit, I compounded my error because I shechted the animal, I sold the animal. And then when this has come afterwards and said that he stole, he's going to be obligated, even though he already admitted it. Why? Because that second admission now was to him It was a free admission. Didn't cost him anything. And the only reason why, we're suspecting, the only reason why he made that admission is just to simply exempt him from having to pay payments 3, 4, and 5. So this is Rav Yochanan echoing the same exact sentiment as Rav. Which is why, by the way, now we can go back full circle, which is why I pointed out earlier that this is one of those unusual occasions where we have a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel on a monetary issue, and the halacha is going to follow like Rav. That's unusual. Now that you know a little bit more Gemara, now we understand. Yes, it's unusual, but now you understand that Rav has been corroborated by Rav Yochanan. So that's why, in this particular regard, the halacha falls like Rav. That if you make an admission and witnesses come afterwards, you're going to be exempt. Unless, right, now we're going to add that one other caveat. Unless your admission doesn't cost you anything. If your admission doesn't cost you anything, so then witnesses come and can obligate you. And now what the Gemara is going to do, and this is going to take the next half an amud of Gemara. But basically, I mean, if I could just quickly summarize, here's what we're going to do. We're going to show that Rav and Rav Yochanan are correct. We're going to use our Mishnah that we learned yesterday, 2 days ago, to make this point. And we're going to learn a Braisa together as well that's going to make this point as well. That both the Mishnah and the Braisa seem to indicate that this opinion of Rav and Rav Yochanan, that if you make an admission that costs you, so then that admission is going to stand, even if witnesses come subsequently. If you make an admission that doesn't cost you, so then that admission will not stand. If it stands by itself, so then that admission stands. But if witnesses come afterwards, so then you're going to be obligated. And so let's learn together a Mishnah and a Braisa. Ditnan. So Amar Avashi, Masitsa and Braisa Nami Deka. So we're going to read the Mishnah and the Braisa carefully, and it's going to point and indicate that Rav and Rav Yochanan are correct. Masis and Didnan. Let's learn a Mishnah again. Ganav al Pishnayim. Witnesses come and said that you stole. V'tavach u'machar al Piyedachar al Piyatzmo. And then, in terms of the next step of what you did, you shechted the animal, or you sold the animal. So either that's coming to us by a report of one witness, or it's coming based on your own admission. So you're going to be paying kefal because witnesses reported that you stole, but you're not going to be paying dal vehei, meaning you're not going to be paying payments 3, 4, and 5. Lamali the niganav apishnayim. Now the Mishnah was very careful about the case that it chose. It chose the case of where witnesses reported that you stole. Notice that the Mishnah didn't give the following case. Listen, why didn't the Mishnah teach us the following scenario? Ganav v'tavach u'machar al pi echad, o al pi atzmo, eino mishalem ela keren. If, let's say, you admitted everything, you went into court and you said, good morning, gentlemen, I stole. And not only did I steal, but I shechted the animal as well. And why didn't the Mishnah teach us that under such a circumstance, under such a scenario, you're going to be obligated to pay only the principal value, and you're going to be exempt from having to pay the kefal payments 3, 4, and 5? How come the Mishnah didn't teach that case? So the Gemara now is going to make a suggestion. We're now on the very top of Ein Hamad Beis. Elalava kamash malan ganav al piatzmo v'tavach al piedachar al piatzmo hu delo mechayev atzmo bekeren hu de amrinan al piatzmo dumya de al piedachad. We made this point yesterday, we're going to make it now again. You notice that in the case in the Mishnah, we're talking about either you made an admission, or it was one witness who testified about you. Now, we put those two cases side by side. Remember, we made this point a couple days ago, we're going to reiterate this point. Why did the Mishnah put these two cases side by side? Either you make the admission, or one witness. Effectively, it's the same thing. Because if there aren't two witnesses who are saying that you did something wrong, you're not going to be liable. Why did the Mishnah put that side by side? So ma al pi eid echad ki asi eid acher mitzdarif behadei mechayev. So because if one witness comes and testifies about you, so even though one witness is not going to generate an obligation, but he is one witness. And all you now need is one more witness, and now you're going to be obligated. So even though in the here and now you're not obligated, but at least there's a potential for you to be obligated if we add one more witness. So al pi atzmo nami. The same thing would be true if you made the admission, where even though you're not obligated now, But if witnesses come subsequently, you are going to be obligated. So that means that if witnesses come afterwards, you're going to be chayev. That's why, right, follow the logic over here. It's really good. It's a little bit complicated. But follow the logic. That's why the Mishnah chose the case that it chose. Because our Mishnah is only looking at a scenario in which, if witnesses come afterwards, you're going to have to pay. But in a scenario where you make all the admission, you admit that you stole and that you shechted, so under such circumstances, you're not going to pay if witnesses come afterwards. Why not? Because that admission cost you money. That admission obligated you to pay the principal value. There, we will not say that your admission is just going to be like one witness. In the case of one witness, add one more and you're going to be chayiv. In the case of your own admission, add two witnesses and you're going to be chayiv. But it's not true. You're not going to be chayiv because since the admission of I stole is going to obligate you to pay the principal, therefore it's going to be a solid ironclad admission, and under those circumstances, you're not going to be obligated if witnesses come subsequently. So that is a very careful, critical reading of the Mishnah that would seem to indicate that Rav and Rav Yochanan are right. Okay, that's one. Two, Braisa, D'Tanya. Now we're going to learn a Braisa together that also is going to lead to us to this conclusion, that if your admission costs you money, that admission is going to be ironclad. And witnesses coming afterwards is not going to affect your admission. If your admission doesn't cost you money, so then witnesses coming afterwards is going to obligate you. Here we have a Bryce. The Bryce goes as follows. It's going to sound familiar. So once again, the Ganav sees witnesses running to court. So he just runs a little bit faster. Uva'amar ganafti. So what does he do? He beats him to the courtroom and he says, I stole. Avalo tavakti velo macharti. I stole, but I'm telling you right now, I didn't shecht, I didn't sell the animal, but I did steal the animal. Eina mashalem ela keren. So he pays keren. He has to pay the principal value because he admitted that he stole. Now, lama lemisne va'amar ganafti. Avalo tavakti velo macharti. And again, what we're going to do is look at the case of the Braisa discussed and look at the case of the Braisa did not discuss. Right? Right? Like the musician. It's not the notes that you play, it's the notes also that you don't play. So so let's look at the case of the Braisa didn't discuss. The Braisa didn't discuss the case where Nisne Ganafti, take out the word O. Nisne ganafti o tavachti macharti. So why did the Braisa come up with a scenario in which he went to court and he said, I stole, followed then by, I also shechted and I also sold. Why did the Braisa discuss that case? Ala kamash malan, time adamar ganafti, hu dechai vatzma bekeren depater. It's because the Braisa is speaking specifically about a scenario where he makes the admission that he stole. Because once he makes the admission that he stole, that admission is going to cost him money. He's going to have to pay the principal. Ava amar lo ganafti. But in a scenario where he starts off by saying, hey, I didn't steal. Uvao edim shekanav. And then witnesses come forward and the witnesses said, no, you did steal, remember? V'chazv amar tavachti macharti. So then he says, okay, fine. Fine, I stole. Okay, they're right. But I also would like to admit to everybody that I shechted the animal or I sold the animal, and so therefore I shouldn't have to pay payments 3, 4, and 5 because that's based on my own admission. And then witnesses come afterwards and witnesses said, you know what? No, he did. He right. Not only did he steal, but he also shechted the animal, or he sold the animal. So even though it's after his admission, because that admission didn't cost him money, it's simply that admission is not going to stand. The lo chayv atzma bekeren chayv, because that admission did not obligate him to pay the principal value, so therefore he's going to have to pay for payments 3, 4, and 5. So ama hoda de tvicha lav hoda hi. So therefore the admission of tvicha is not going to be considered a ironclad admission. Witnesses coming afterwards is going to obligate him. Okay, so what did we just do together in the last nearly half an amud of Gemara? We saw the Mishnah, we saw the Braisa. It seems like the Mishnah and the Braisa are choosing their cases super carefully, because the point that is encrypted in both the Mishnah and the Braisa is that the only admission that's going to stand the test of Edom afterwards is only admissions that are going to cost him money. Like the admission of he stole. That admission is going to cost him money. He has to pay the Karen. But an admission of after having been found that he stole, after witnesses already reported that he stole, and now he's trying to get an admission to get out of payments 3, 4, and 5, so that's not going to stand. That's what it sounds like from the Mishnah. That's what it sounds like from the Braisa. The Mishnah and the Braisa seem to clearly be avoiding these cases because these cases are not going to be ironclad admissions. Amrei. Low. So the Gemara says on this last point, we could deflect. And we could say the following. Maybe the Bryce chose the case for a different reason. Maybe the Bryce chose the case where he admitted that he stole, and then witnesses come subsequently and said, you know what? He also shechted. Under those circumstances, now let's consider. He admitted that he stole. So what does he have to pay right now? He has to pay the principal, but he doesn't pay kefal. Because kefal is a kenas, and he admitted. So he's not going to pay kefal. So right now, remember, let's put out five payments. One is the principal, two is kefal, 3, 4, and 5 is if he either shechted or he sold an ox. Okay, so let's put out five payments. So payment number one he's on the hook for, because he admitted it. And that's the principal. Payment number two is going to be exempt because mod beknas pater. Now, witnesses come forward and witnesses say, you know what, we saw him shech the animal. Okay. Now, he didn't make the admission. This is coming based on the report of witnesses. So now, in theory, one would say, okay, he's going to pay one. He's going to be exempt from two, but he should have to pay 3, 4, and 5. And here we're going to learn something interesting, a novel, and that is, under such a circumstance, he's not going to be paying 3, 4, and 5. Why not? And the answer is, this is not going to come out as logical, but the answer is that once there's no payment number two, there therefore is not going to be a payment 3, 4, and 5. 3 and 4 and 5 are going to only be predicated on if there's a payment number two. First, I'll let the Gemara say it. He's going to be exempt. My taima tashlume chamisha amar chmana velo tashlume arba velo tashlume shlosha. Okay, so the Gemara said what I just said is that once there's no payment number two, that therefore is not going to be payment number 3, 4, and 5, even though you had witnesses come and said that they shechted the animal, but because he's exempt from kefal, he therefore is also going to be exempt from 3, 4, and 5. 3, 4, and 5 only work in conjunction with kefal. Why should that be? I don't have a good way to explain it from a svar standpoint, but that's why the Braisa chose that particular case in order to teach us that particular halacha. Yeah, right. In other words, right. What he should have done as long as he was in the admission, I agree. That would have been his best move. I'm admitting that I stole, and that admission cost the money, and as long as we're here, I'm also going to admit that I shechted the animal as well, and that would indemnify him from any of the knas. That would have been his best move. Okay, lema kitanai. Okay, so where do we stand right now in the Gemara? Okay, we are in the middle of a discussion in the Gemara of you make an admission. The admission is not costing you any money. And then witnesses come after that admission. Are you going to be liable? So right now we are saying that both according to Rav and according to Rav Yochanan, the answer to that question is you are going to be liable. The only admission that will exempt you and permanently exempt you is only an admission that costs you money. So for example, when you say that you stole, that admission is going to have you paying back the principal. That's a solid admission. Where even though it exempts you from the kefal, but because it costs you money, that admission, so therefore it's a solid admission. Masha Ein Kein, if you make an admission like you were already caught having stolen the item, and you're now making an admission on the shechting of the animal, so that admission is only there to exempt you. It doesn't cost you any money to make such an admission, so therefore you're not that admission will not stand the stand up in the event that witnesses come subsequently. Okay, what the Gemara now is suggesting is perhaps this is subject to a machlokus amongst the Tanayim. Okay, now, this next part is going to be a little bit tricky. It's going to be a little bit difficult. Okay, what we're going to learn together now is another Braisa. There certainly is a machlokus in this Braisa. At first, it will not be clear what the machlokus is hinging on. We really will not understand the machlokas. It's only after the Gemara's discussion afterwards are we going to get some sort of clarity on what is the argument over here. And then what the Gemara is going to suggest is that the way we're going to at least attempt to explain the machlokas between the Tanakhama and we'll see in just a moment Simchas is going to be predicated on this very issue. Okay, so
it's a, if somebody takes something by force and then he goes and confesses,
then can you just pay the principal? So everybody can there's no kefil by gzela.
What?
There's no kefil by gzela. In other words, when you take something by force, so that's called gzela, that's not gneva, and so there's no kefil. Kefil is only by gneva, not by gzela. Lema kitanai. So here we go, now it's machlokas, the following is machlokas tanai. Hayu shnayim me'idim sheganav. Ve'hayu shnayim me'idim oso shetavachamacha. Okay, so the Braisa, this is going to sound familiar. We already discussed cases like this earlier in this perek. Okay, witnesses come and said that you stole. And another pair of witnesses come and said that you shechted. Okay, you compounded your error. Huzmu Ede Geneva. Now, first witnesses were knocked out by Edim Hamazimim. First pair of witnesses turned out to be Edim Zomimim. Conspiring witnesses caught lying. So now, they're gone. Which means you didn't steal this animal. And if you didn't steal the animal, so then there's no compounding on the sin. Because there's only compounding if there was a theft. If there's no theft, there's no compound. So the Gemara says, Geneva, so Edish about Lemixas about Lakula. So now everything is gone. Meaning you didn't steal, so if you didn't steal, you didn't shech the stolen animal. Okay. And that's that part's pretty clear. Huzmu Ede Tvicha. So, but what? Let's say that it wasn't the first pair that were muzam. It was the second pair of Edom that were muzam, proven to been lying witnesses. Another pair of witnesses came and testified about the second pair of witnesses. Imanu Hayisim b'makom ploni. They were with us at the time. There is no way they could have testified. So who misham teshlam ekevol? Vehem misham teshlam eshlosha. So again, we discussed earlier. This part's clear. You, the ganav, have to pay the principal and kefil. You have to pay payments 1 and 2. Yeah, because you stole. And that was based on the testimony of the first witnesses, and the first set of witnesses were presumably telling the truth. We have no reason to suspect otherwise. They were not muzam. The second pair of witnesses, however, turned out to be Edom Zomimim. So what punishment do they get? Whatever they conspired to try to do to you, that's going to go back on them. They tried to get you to pay payments 3, 4, and 5. They were lying. They were Edom Zomimim. They're going to pay payments 3, 4, and 5. So far, so good. This is what we've already discussed earlier. That part's easy. Mishum Simchas Amru. Then they said the following in the name of Simchas. Here now comes the opinion of Simchas, and this part's going to be hard. Hein Mishalmim Tashlomei Kefal. They pay the Kefal payment. V'hu Mishalmim Tashlomei Shlosh Lepar U'Shnayim La'ayo. And he pays 3 times for the bull, and 2 times for the ram. Okay, does that make perfect sense?
No.
It doesn't. It doesn't make perfect sense. What is Simchas even talking about? Ahaya. Now remember. Now there are 2 cases that were discussed in the Braisa. The first case that was discussed in the Braisa is where the first pair of witnesses turned out to be Edom Zomimim. The second case is where the second pair were turned out to be Edom Zomimim. So first of all, we're going to ask a very simple question: which case was Simchas even commenting on? Ahai, akai. Simchas ilim areisha leisa. Simchas edish abal mikzas abal lakula. So, do you think that he's talking about the first case of the Braisa? Can't be. What is wrong with the Tanakama's position in the first case? Absolutely nothing. Nothing's wrong with that case. Meaning, it makes perfect sense. Once the first pair of witnesses turned out to be Edom Zomimim, so that means that there was no theft. So, if there's no theft, so Edom Shabbat Lemiksas about Lakula. So then, if there's no theft, there's no shechting of a stolen animal. So of course, the whole case goes away. And where could you even? How could you argue with that logic? That logic is sound. The Ela Seifa. So the Gemara says, okay. So maybe Simchas was commenting on the second case. The second case, what's wrong with that? Second case, first set of witnesses said that he stole, and their testimony was not impugned. Fine, so he stole. Second set of witnesses said, and he shechted. And now witnesses, another set of witnesses come and say, second set of, are lying. And not only they're lying, they're Edom Zomimim. Imanu Ha'isim B'mal complained, they were with us at the time. They couldn't have known that. So now, you do to them what they conspired to do. Again, what the Tanakhama is saying is sound. It's perfectly sound. How can some chutz be arguing on that position? Shapir kami rabbanan, hu misham tashlum mekeva vehem misham tashlum mishlosha. So there is no way that Simchus could be challenging that as well. So basically now, we know Simchus is arguing, but basically the Gemara is saying, can't be he's arguing on the Reisha, can't be he's arguing on the Seifa. So what's going on over here? So this is where it gets a little bit tricky. Ela milsa achrisa ikavanayu. So it must be that Simchus and the Tanakhama are arguing over an issue, which has not been articulated in the Braisa. So this is a lot of speculation, but you got to say something. Something's going on in the Braisa. So now what we're going to suggest is, this is the case in which they're arguing about, and then the underpinning of what they're arguing about could be predicated on the previous debate. Kigon. Da'asu betre amri le ganafta. So a pair of witnesses come and they point to this man and they said, you stole. Amr luhu in, ganafti v'tavachti umacharti. And so the defendant, the accused, says, guilty, guilty, and guilty. I stole, and I'll go even one step further. Not only did I steal, I shechted the animal, or I sold the animal after I stole it. Okay, fine. So he's admitting guilt. However, here's where it gets complicated. Miu lo bifneichem ganafti. I'll tell you this. Everything you're saying about me is right, but it's not because you guys are saying it. In fact, you guys weren't there. Meaning, I'm guilty, but not because of you. You were not there at the time of the theft. You were. Well, no, he no. But this is where it gets complicated, right? I'm guilty, but you guys have no business testifying because you weren't there. Now, happens to be after he said that, I see sahade the azminu de lo ba'apayu ganav. So then, after the ganav, now self-reports that he stole and that he shechted, and also reports that these witnesses are no good. Now, obviously, if it's just based on the ganav's report, then we're not going to pay that any mind. He's the accused. He is obviously not in a position to say anything about the witnesses. He is the classic scenario of no gebedaver. He's the defendant. But then, after he said that, along comes now a pair of witnesses, presumably an objective pair of witnesses, and said, these witnesses were with us at the time of the alleged theft, the accused theft. And there's no way that they could testify. So in other words, these witnesses are proven to have been Adam Zomimim. And meanwhile, the Ganav seems to have been right. V'aisi balabayis sa'adei v'asidu be'de Ganav v'tavach umachar. And then, I told you it's going to get complicated, and then the owner of the item brings in another pair of witnesses, another set of witnesses, and testify regarding this ganav. Okay, the first set of witnesses clearly were no good. Okay, we all agree. But I have another set of witnesses, and these witnesses are now prepared to testify that you stole and you shechted. Okay. Everyone following? It's a soap opera. It's a drama. It's a mini drama. Now, uva hodas tvicha kemiflgi. Now over here, he made an admission on the tvicha, and now rabbanan savre afagav da hodas gneva machmas edim hu de kamoda. Now the chachamim will say the following: yes, I know that at the time when he admitted that he stole the item, it was after witnesses already reported. But remember, those first witnesses that reported ended up being no good. So, afagav da'oda d'gneva machmas edemu d'kamoda, hoda d'tvicha hodahi. The Chachamim will tell you, yeah, but the admission on the shechting, that the first set of witnesses didn't report anything about that, that he done strictly on his own. Upater. And therefore, that will create for him an exemption on the payment 3, 4, and 5. V'sumcha savar kevin de hodas de gneva machmas edim hu de kamode de tvicha lav hoda'a. And Sumchus will tell you, no, his admission on the tvicha is still really a reflection of the fact that witnesses came. And that's what prompted him to give this entire admission on the theft and on the shechita. V'hanach edim kamay da'azminu mishamim tashu mekefo. So now, the first witnesses, now who are proven to be Edom Zomimim, so they're going to have to pay the kefal payment. V'hu mishalem shlosh laparo shnayim la'ayil. And he, even though he admitted that he shechted the animal, but according to Simchus, that was not a... That was not an admission that came on his own. That admission only was as a result of the Edom who came and testified that he stole. And so Simchus will tell you that that admission of the shechting does not stand. It does not stand, and therefore he's going to be on the hook to having to pay payments 3, 4, and 5. That the Gemara says is the case, and the debate of the Chachamim and Simchus. Admittedly, that's tricky because we had to, in order to create this machlokas, had to generate a long sequence of events. None of it actually mentioned in the Braisa. Am Rav Acha b'Rei d'Rav Ika lo. So the Gemara is going to simply deflect and say no. That's not what they're arguing about. D'kuli ama hodas d'tfich alav hodahi. Everyone will admit that the admission on the shechting was not an admission. Ela be'eda shi'eto yecholazi makemiflegi. So the Gemara says over here the issue is the following issue. Testimony where it is not hazamable. Now I know that's not the best word. it's a fabricated word, but it's right. But in other words, you'll see. We're going to see this in Sanhedrin time and again. And that is that in order for testimony to be a valid testimony, you have to be open for the possibility of being an Eid Zomim. I mean, it's great. It is that you being an honest and verifiable witness will be contingent on whether at least you are a candidate for another pair of witnesses to say you're Edom Zomimim. If you are not a candidate for Hazama, your testimony is not going to be admissible. So the Gemara says, Kigon, Da'asusa divamre leganafta. So let's go. What would be such a scenario? Witnesses came and said he stole. V'amar lehu ganafti v'tavachti macharti. Mi ulo bifnechem ganafti al bifnei ploni uploni. So it's going to sound very similar. First pair of witnesses said you stole. He says, you guys are right. But it's not because of you. I did steal. But you weren't the ones who saw it. I stole, and I'm even going to, not only am I going to self-report that I stole, I'm even going to tell you who saw me steal. It wasn't you guys. And he actually identified who actually saw him steal. Now, the first pair of witnesses, as the Ganav himself reported, were lying. And we have Adam Hamazim who came and told us that they were lying. And now, Asu ploni uploni v'asidu be degana v'tavachu machar. Now the witnesses who he identified as being the actual honest witnesses, they came forward and they actually said, yeah, he stole. Yeah. And not only did he steal, but he shechted as well. Uvahaka miflege. The Rabbanan Savre havile edus yato cholazima v'chol edus yato yecholazima lo havi edus. So the Chachamim will tell you, look, this edus that is now given, it is not open to Hazama. In other words, these witnesses came in and said that he stole. They're witnesses who actually were reported by the Ganav himself that he stole. And Simchus Savar Edushia Tol Cholazima Havi Edus Vakim. I'm sorry, Havi Edus. And Simchus's position is, no, really, they are. It is going to be. It'll be good testimony, even though they're not eligible for Hazama. The Gemara says, but wait 1 second. So the Gemara says, yeah, but I don't understand. Everyone agrees to that rule. In order for Edus to be good Edus, it has to be at least eligible for Hazama. So the Gemara says, So the Gemara finally concedes. You know what? Generally speaking, yes. In order to be an aid, you have to be eligible for a Zama. How are you eligible for a Zama? It's very simple. You have to come to court, and the first thing you have to provide is time and place. You have to come in court, and you have to say, it happened at this time and in this place. That makes you eligible for a Zama. Because now it's possible that another pair of witnesses come and say, time and place, you weren't there at that time, at that place. You were with us at that time and that place. On that, everybody agrees that is step number one for any edus. You have to establish time and place. And the Gemara says, and that's unbendable. That's a basic rule regarding edus. Over here, the thing that makes it unhazamable is the fact that the ganav himself reported that these are the witnesses. That's a different issue.
Why would he mean hazamable? Why couldn't he say that he's conspiring with them, and maybe it could be hazamable? Like some person
It could.
Why does his designation of them as witnesses preclude them from being
right? Make them unimpeachable. Right. Unimpeachable. So the assumption is that no one's going to. It's just an assumption that no one's going to challenge them once the Ganav himself identified that they are the Ganav. Okay, I hear you. But basically, the Gemara says, "Avahacha siyu dekamisaye le." The Gemara says, "Yeah, but over here, all he's doing is just simply assisting. He is just simply providing information. Granted, they were that the Ganav himself already identified them as being the witnesses." Okay, but over here, this is not as bad as witnesses not being able to produce the time and place in terms of where the crime occurred. This is something which is they're just being the ganav is just assisting them in terms of identifying them as being the witnesses. It's not as bad, and the Gemara says, and that is the machlokas between the chachamim and simchas, and by saying. And by saying all that, effectively, what we're saying is the machlokas has nothing to do with making an admission about making an admission that doesn't cost you money. That's not the issue. That's not the topic of discussion. And basically, the Gemara is just simply deflected.